Teaching meditation can be a deeply rewarding experience. Help others improve their mental and emotional well-being, reduce stress, improve focus, increase self-awareness and self-regulation, all while deepening your own practice and understanding. Join acclaimed author, Buddhist teacher, and Emmy Award-winning musician David Nichtern on Tuesday, May 28th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for a free online discussion on teaching meditation in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern on May 28th.
I'm Rachel, the creative director for Ram Dass's Love Server Member Foundation, and I'd like to welcome you to our Inner Academy, a virtual Dharma hall where our family of wisdom teachers will help you navigate your daily life by bringing ancient wisdom into a modern context. With over 200 hours of audio and video teachings, meditations, and practices from teachers like Ram Dass, Krishna Dass, Sharon Salzberg, Jack Kornfield, Roshi Joan Halifax, Joseph Goldstein, and many more, the Inner Academy is your core resource for finding balance, presence, and navigating the ups and downs of your daily life. The Inner Academy has guidance for every step of your journey. Choose from an annual or monthly membership and gain access to past and future courses, retreat replays, virtual community, and much more. If you've been familiar with Love Server Member Foundation for a while, you'll know that most of our offerings are given freely or on a sliding scale basis. So when you subscribe to the Inner Academy, you're paying it forward and bolstering our ability to continue creating accessible offerings for all in the future, as Ram Dass wished for us to do. Be here now and start your journey with Ram Dass's Inner Academy today. For more, visit ramdass.org/innerAcademy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From Maharaji said, he would point to us, he said, all one, all one, all paths lead to the same goal, the same place. That's what I believe. So I feel completely at ease repeating any of the names of God. I'm an all-inclusive repeater. It doesn't matter to me. I have my own, you know, I like Hanuman. I'm close to Hanuman and Ram, Sitaram, Radha Krishna, this, you know, the goddess. But I feel very close to Jesus also. So for me, it's not a problem because I believe they're all the names of that one.
Welcome to the Krishna Dass Pilgrim Heart Hour. In this podcast, Krishna Dass shares his warm-hearted and down-to-earth path to the divine. If you are interested in supporting Krishna Dass's podcast, please go to BeHereNowNetwork.com/KD.
Jaya Baba Hanuman. Jaya Siara. Jaya Baba Anjani Nandana Jaya Ram Jaya Hanuman Jaya Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Jaya Hanuman Jaya Ram Jaya Jaya Ram Jaya Hanuman Jaya Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Hanuman 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 Jaya Ram Jaya Bajaranga Bali Baba Hanuman Jaya Bajaranga Bali Jaya Hanuman Sankata Mochana Kupanitha Sankatamochana Kupanidhan Jaya Ram Jaya Hanuman Jaya Ram Jaya Hanuman Jaya Ram Jaya Hanuman Jaya Ram Jaya Hanuman Jaya Hanuman Jaya Bajaranga Bali Baba Hanuman Jaya Bajaranga Bali Jaya Hanuman Na Karuna Sagara Kupanidha Sagara Kupanidhan Jaya Ram Jaya Bajaranga Bali Baba Hanuman Jaya Bajaranga Bali Jaya Hanuman Sankata Mochana Sagara Rupanedan Yesyaram Yeye Hanuman Yesyaram Yeye Hanuman Yesyaram Yeah.
So someone's asking me about the time when I asked Siddhima about grace and effort. This is a big question that many people have, and certainly I had. We don't really understand what grace is, and we only know our own egoistic, self-centered point of view about things. So we think everything depends on our effort, right? But then on the other hand, we hear about grace, and grace is supposed to be grace. And so if there's grace, what is effort required for? So it's a big thing, but did it already happen, or do we have to make it happen? Something like, you know, there's all the different ways of talking about that issue. So, and the other thing was that Maharaji used to say, he used to tease us. And he used to say, I have the keys to the mind. He said, I could turn your minds against me. And he would laugh, and we would go, Baba, don't do that, don't do that. He would laugh. He was just teasing. But he could do that, you see. And I believe everything he says, as far as I can understand it. So, when he says, I have the keys to the mind, to me, that means that my mind and I am where he has placed me. Not that that's a stop or a static state, but in other words, I am where he, since he's the guru, he's the one really running the show. What do I know? Nothing. So he knows everything and is everything. So if he has the keys to the mind, to me that meant and means that I am where he wants me to be. Now, that's a nice, easy statement to say. But if I really believed that, if I was able to really realize what that means, that would mean full surrender happened, and I would be completely at ease in the arms of the mother, nothing to worry about. But Unfortunately, or whatever, the reality is that I am not surrendered fully. And I am not fully at ease. So I have not fully accepted even what I believe is true, which is that I am where he wants me to be. So anyhow, complicated. So I said to Siddhi Mama, you know, what's the deal? Is it all his grace, his doing, or, and his blessings, or is my effort required? So she said, Krishnadas, it's all grace. But you have to act like it isn't. You have to deal with reality. And the reality is, we don't know it's all grace. Truly know. Because if we did know and realize fully that it's all grace, it's already happened, there's nothing to do, we would be fully surrendered. The mind would not be working the way it is. The emotions would not be working the way they are. Everything would be different in our lives. Or at least it would look different to us because we would be different. We would have surrendered our egoistic, separate sense of self. But as Siddhi Ma pointed out, even though it is all grace, we don't know that. And so we have to make our effort to open to that grace and to calm the mind, to repeat the name, to think of others. Like Maharaji said, serve everyone, love everyone, remember God. He didn't say, don't do nothing. He said three things or more, but that's not don't do nothing. That's love everyone, serve everyone, remember God. There's not one of those three things that I can do completely. And so my effort is required to open to the space where that's reality. What do you think Maharaji meant when he said he would come to America? Well, you know, he said he'll come to America, and one of the women devotees there, Radha, said, "You'll come in our hearts." And he said, "Nay, in the body, sharir nay." He actually said that. I have no idea what. Maybe he's been here physically. Who knows? You know, during World War II, he went to England. He had a devotee who was a colonel in the army, an Englishman, whose heart he had opened with some previously, and the colonel was completely devoted to him. And one day he says to this guy, let's get a plane and go to England. And somehow or other, that's actually what happened. He went to England. Later on, he said, I ate bananas and drank milk. And then after a day or two, he flew back to India on this military transport. It's beyond my comprehension what that meant. Who knows? Maybe he's hanging out in New York right now in a body. But we would not know unless he wants us to know. So there's no sense looking for him outside. There is no outside. It's all in here. Even when I was sitting in front of him physically, it only looks like it outside. It's outside because of my attachments and my karmic situation. In reality, there is no outside. Or inside, there's only oneness. Do I have a picture of Ram Dass on my altar? I have a picture of me and Ram Dass over here. This is when we were on a boat together in the lake in Nainital up in the mountains. And here's Instagram. Hello, Instagram. There you are. I hope you can see it. Yeah, we looked so peaceful and calm and at ease. He had just said something so nasty to me, I felt like pushing him into the lake. But that's, those days, very different. But yeah. There's a lot of pictures of Ram Dass and I together because we've known each other so long. So, can you explain the statements made by Bhavji? Every line of the Hanuman Chalisa is Mahamantra, and Hanuman Chalisa can change fate. I can't explain it because if I could explain it, it would mean that I would be on the level of Maharaji, who said it. We can only think about it and imagine what it might mean. But in other words, Mahamantra means the name of God, the names of God. In India, so many names, so many deities, so many devas, they're all forms of the one, and they understand that. But everybody, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Some people like Shiva, some people like Krishna, some people like Ram, some people like the goddess, some people like this. Everybody has a shtick. And in India, they make room for all the different shticks. Every different way, every path, whatever your inclination is, it's available there. It isn't like one size fits all. Ultimately, of course, it is, because they understand that all these manifestations are the manifestations of the One, of which we are all a part. So, he's saying that the Hanuman Chalisa is Mahamantra. It's the repetition of the name. It's powerful. It's the repetition of the name. It should be treated as if, as Mahamantra. Just like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Mahamantra. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Mahamantra. Om Namah Shivaya. Mahamantra. Om Shri Matre Namaha. Mahamantra. All names of the divine. And when he says Hanuman Chalisa can change fate, you know, there's no way I could really understand that, experience that. However, I did kind of think about it. It occurred to me that what is fate? I don't even know if Maharaji used the word fate. I don't even know what that word is in Hindi. He might not have said it that way. He might have said karma or something like that. But everything we think and see and meet in the world and in our own minds and hearts is our own subjective version of things, based on our karmic situation, our likes, our dislikes, the programming we've had this lifetime, the experience we have, painful, pleasant, all that stuff sits within us, in our subtle bodies, our emotional and energetic bodies. And that's what determines what we see in the outside world and what we think and feel and how we react to different things that happen. All that stuff is stored in our subtle bodies, our emotional bodies, our energy bodies, the prana body. It occurred to me that Hanuman Chalisa, when Maharaji says it can change fate, it's possible that what it does is it helps us release these negative emotions and negative energies that we're holding from our own betrayals, our broken hearts, our painful situations, our hurts, all that stuff that we've accumulated from who knows how many lifetimes. They're sitting in us. So the chanting of the Chalisa, he says, can release that. And so when you release that, it's like moving a boulder off of the road. We don't even know the boulder is there yet. We didn't come to the boulder, but by the practice of repeating the Chalisa, the boulder is moved off the road. And the way something is removed from the projector or the dust on the mirror of the heart is cleaned. And so our vision, what we see and what we feel, is cleaner and purer and less distorted. Maybe. I wonder how I can chant these mantras if the Bible tells me I have no other gods before Jesus Christ. Well, you don't have to chant these mantras. There's no... you don't have to. If you're happy in the Christian tradition, in the lineage, that lineage, if that's helping you and you feel that that's working for you, there's no reason to do anything else. Jesus is God. One with God. So there's no problem. But I understand what you're asking. If you're the real the true path leads us into our own being. Every path has its rules and regulations, you could say, how to do it, what to think about. Maharaji said, he would point to us, he said, all one. All paths lead to the same goal, the same place. That's what I believe. So I feel completely at ease repeating any of the names of God. I'm an all-inclusive repeater. It doesn't matter to me. I have my own, you know, I like Hanuman. I'm close to Hanuman, Ram, Sitaram, Radha, Krishna, this, you know, the goddess. But I feel very close to Jesus also. So for me, it's not a problem because I believe they're all the names of that one. If you're Christian lineage, if that's what you are a member of, they don't believe in that necessarily by their definition of Jesus. The way they define Jesus in the Christian tradition is a particular way. The way Jesus is defined in India is a different way. He's worshipped in India. He's respected as a great being, a great saint, a saint that's one with God, a great being, but not the only great being. There's Krishna, there's Rama, there's Hanuman, there's Shiva, all these great beings. They're all reflections of that one. But if you're part of a certain lineage that doesn't believe that, then you have to follow the rules of that religion or that lineage. But once again, it's because they define Jesus Christ in a certain way, which is okay. It's just fine. It works for them. But in India, in the East, Jesus is experienced in a different way. Whatever not better or worse, but your path is this, that's fine. There's no reason to do anything else. You know, I remember once at a workshop, a woman said, you know, she said, I just came from a Jewish weekend last week, and they say you can't say the names of God. And I said, right, we're lying. Because we're practicing. Because if we were really, fully, truly repeating the name wholeheartedly, it would be very different. We're practicing. Or as Maharaji said, go on, repeat your lying Ram Ram. One of these days, you'll say it fully, wholeheartedly, and the real Ram will come. So we're practicing. We're not, because Ram, the name, and what is named are not different. But we don't experience the presence of God fully when we sing, because we have a karmic clouds in the sky of our mind. We don't see the sun yet. But through the repetition of the name, Maharaji said, those clouds will disappear, and we will, through the practice of the repetition of the name, have that experience. Whatever that means. So don't feel bad. Don't do something that doesn't feel right to you. Please. Why should you do that? You don't have to. How and what helped you accept your music as Dharma? This is not music, this is prayer. Music is just a small part of it. It's the repetition of the name, and that is my practice. With or without music, with or without sound, with or without voice, mental repetition is the same. So it's not about music. Music is not Dharma. Music is music. If music was Dharma, every musician would be enlightened. Every musician would be happy. And we know that's not the case. So, do I have any thoughts on the common concept that the grass is always greener on the other side? We might think it's greener until we get over there and find out there's just as many weeds on the other side as there is on this side. Can I explain the relationship between my Buddhist practice, you're asking, and your deep devotion to Baba? Buddhism deals with the mind. Very directly dealing with how to transform the mind, how to calm the mind, how to open the mind and heart. Very specific techniques. In Buddhism, you're not asked to believe anything. You're asked to practice and see what happens. And I love that. And I love, and I find very useful to help me understand my motivations and the places that I'm stuck, and the tremendous emphasis, especially in Mahayana and Vajrayana, of compassion and kindness for all beings, which were Maharaj's teachings exactly, and Jesus' teachings exactly. Treat others as you want to be treated yourself. If we could do that one thing, what trouble would we have in this world? None. We would feed others. We would care for others. We would be cared for. There'd be no war. There'd be no hate. There'd be no suffering, because we would feel oneness with all beings. But we don't feel that. And so the Buddhism helps me very much in terms of seeing clearly where I'm stuck. And of course, my understanding is that Maharaji is an enlightened being. So he's one with Buddha, one with all the enlightened beings. So I never found any problem. And also, you know, one time I was sitting in front of him and he grabbed my notebook where I wrote out many prayers from all the different traditions, you know, and he kept going through it and going through it. And then he stopped at one page and says, "What's this?" And I looked. It was this Buddhist prayer, right? And I went, "Oh, shit, I am busted." And he said, "Translate some." But of course, I couldn't. So the Gurudev Sharma was there, this wonderful devotee. He translated a few verses. Maharaj says, "Take, correct, very good." And I'm thinking, what? He said the song of Mahamudra was very good, correct? It's a Buddhist thing. Then he kept going through the book and he came across, where are those? Oh, we used to have these tiny little stamps of him. We made these big sheets of stamps of all Maharaji's pictures. And I had some picture, one stamp in the book. And he saw the, he said, "Who's that?" I said, "Maharaji, it's you." "Nay, Buddha." So that's the deal. Maharaji had devotees from all religions. His doors were always open. Muslims, Sikhs, Jains, Christians, priests who used to come to see him. And of course, all the different Hindu sects of Hinduism. He was an equal opportunity lover. He loved everyone equally. What kind of practice did Maharaji do in the cave? How do I know? How do you release thoughts of past shame and always be in the present? Well, when you take Sharanagati, refuge, you leave that stuff outside. You release it. And every time you get caught by it again, you release it again. Again and again. When you're chanting, if you're not paying attention, you notice it. If you're lost in those kind of thoughts, you release it and come back. You take refuge in the name. You take refuge in the connection, in the practice. Again and again and again and again until you get used to being here. It's only our thoughts and emotions that pull us out of this moment. Even though we're still in the moment, we're not aware. So we need to practice letting go. I don't really, what is grace? For me, grace means in a specific sense, it means blessings. The blessings are always flowing, but we're not paying attention. Which is why Sidney Ma said you have to act like it isn't all grace, because we're not experiencing grace all the time. The state of grace, which is openness, which is reality, which is oneness, which is real love that doesn't come and go. It's real, present. Our true nature is grace. But we are not aware of it. We're too busy, too distracted, too neurotic. How would one that is on the gallows, tied and unable to speak, how would one use it to create dharma or repentance? Well, if you are actually on the gallows, with your hands tied and with unable to speak, you would be very aware that you're about to die. And the recognition of death and the imminence of death would be very strong. You know, in India, there's when you prasad is distributed at the temples, it's distributed with this mantra and the mantra carries the blessings to protect one against sudden death, because it's believed that sudden death is not really, it isn't a good situation, because you don't get a chance to prepare and let go of all your attachments and enter into that process. We're all on the gallows, but we don't know it. We're not paying attention. We live as if we're going to live forever. We make plans, long-term plans, short-term plans. But you know, there's no guarantee that the breath is going to come in again once it goes out. But we live as if we will live forever. So when we become aware of the imminence of death, no matter how many people die around us, it doesn't really sink in that it's going to happen to us at any time. It's amazing that we don't get it. One of the meditations in Buddhism is the meditation on death. You focus on that fact that right now, billions of cells in your own body are dying. So, there is that possibility, if we have karmic ripeness, that death could be, that we could move into death in a grace-filled way. When I was sitting with Ram Dass at the end of his life, about 4 days before he died, he knew he was dying. I mean, he had almost died 100 times in the last 20 years from one kind of infection or not ever. I mean, so many things he had going on in his body. But now he was in bed, and he didn't get out of bed again. This was his last period. And sitting with him for hours and hours those days, you didn't sense there was any worry about it. He was very much with Maharaji. He was very present, very there. It was very powerful. There are quite a few books about what happens at the moment of death and afterwards. In the Tibetan tradition, they have the what's called the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is not actually the name of it. The name of the book is the Book of Liberation in the In-Between State, between this life and the next life. There are many. I'm reading one book now called Peaceful Death, Joyous Rebirth by Tulku Tundup. It's a really powerful book. There's a lot of information in there. And boy, there's a lot. The Tibetans really, they investigate these things that are beyond our understanding. But they have the intensity and the concentration of mind and the perception, subtle perception that we don't have. And they talk about, they tell us what their ideas about what happens at the moment of death and after death. And they say, well, there's many books like that. So. Repentance is something we could do all the time, every day. We could feel how we've hurt people. We could forgive others who have hurt us over the years. And we could practice gratitude for all the things that we do have. And it's a very powerful practice. And that brings you very much into the moment and removes a lot of fear and anguish by practicing gratitude. It's not easy for me to do that. I'm a cranky guy, you know. It's just, but I have done it at times and I know how powerful a practice it is. So asking for forgiveness and offering forgiveness, very powerful. Because who's suffering if we're angry and hurt by things that other people have done, and if we have guilt for things that we've done? Who's suffering? We are. I mean, other people might be suffering too, but we are definitely suffering. And it's our own suffering that we can try to free ourselves of. And practicing forgiveness and for ourselves and others is a very powerful practice. So, okay, that's it. Think of God and the Kundalini will go right up. Well, Kundalini is something that's also mysterious. And there are many forms of Kundalini, many different ways to experience Kundalini. It's not always like electricity up your spine and then you go like this. It's not always like that. So don't worry about it. There's always hope because you're still here. Whatever's happened in the past is gone. What's going to happen is not here yet. So, right now, find out who you are. forgive yourself for things that you might have done. Forgive others for things they might have done to you. Recognize you have a life and you can make decisions and calm your mind. Everything in the rest of your question is all in your mind. Whether it's physical or not, it's still in your mind and you're holding on to it. We hold on to our past and our stories. Forget the stories. Let them go. So,
Om Shri Hanumate Namah. Shri Guru Charana Sarojaraj. Jamanu Mukuru Sudha Varano Raghubara Dimala Jasu Jodhaku Palachar Buddhihin Tanu Janke Sumeram Pavana Kuma Siara Balabu Divedya Dehumohi Hardahu Klesabika Siavara Ramachandra Pardaje Sharanam. Taking the pollen-like dust from the lotus feet of the Guru to clean the mirror of my mind, the mirror of my heart. I begin to sing pure beauty and praise of Ram. I have no wisdom. I don't understand anything. So I pray to you, Hanuman. Give me strength. Give me intelligence. Give me wisdom. And remove the obstructions in my own heart. Jaya Hanuman. Durta Tulta Baladam Anjani Putra Pavana Sutana Mahavir Vikram Bajarangi Kumati Nivara Sumati Kesangi Kanchanavarana Raja Subesa Kanana Kundala Kunchita Kesa Hatha Bajra Ula Dvaja Viraja Kande Munja Jane Usaja Shankara Suvana Kesari Nandana Hey.
Vijaprataap Mahajagavan Vidyavan Guni Ati Chatu Ramakaja Karibe Koatu Prabhu Charitra Sunibe Korasya Ramalakana Sita Manabasya Sukshma Rupa Dharesya Hindikava Vikata Rupa Dharelanka Jarava Bhima Rupa Dharesur Sanghare Ramachandra Ke Kajasanavar Lai Sanjeevan Lakanajiyahe Shri Raghuvira Harshi Urlai Raghupati Kinhi Bohot Barai Tumamama Priya Paratahi Samabhai Sahasabadana tumaro jasagave Asakahi shri patikantalaga Sanakadika pramadi munisa Narada sharada sahita ahisa Yamakuber Digapala jahante kabhi ko bid kae sake kahante Tuma upakara sugriva inkinha Rama melaya rajapadadi Tuma romantra bibi Keshwara Paya Sabha Jagajana Yuga Sahasra Chojana Parabana Dilyotahi Madhura Palajana Prabhu Mudrika Mele Mukamahi Jaladilangi Gaya Charajanahi Durgamakaj Jagat ke jete Sugam anukrah tumare dete Ram duvare tumarakavare Khotana agya bhinno Sab suklahe tumhari sharana Tumara chakka kahu kordana Apna tej samaro ape Dino loka hamka tenkambe Bhutta pisasha Kattan hi ave Mahavira Chabbanamasunale Naseroga Hare Sabapira Chapataniranthara Hanumartabira Sankatate Hanuman Churave Anakrama bachana dhyana jolave Sabapararama tapasvi raja Dina ke kaja sakala tumasaja Oramanorat choko vilave Soe amit jivan palapave Charo yuga parat प्रसिद्ध जगत उजियार साधु संत के तुम रखवाड़े असुर निकंदन राम दुलारे अष्ट सिद्धि नो निधि के दाता असवर दीन जानकी माता राम रसायन तुम्हारे पास सदा रहो रघुपति के दास तुम्हारे भजन राम को पावे जन्म जन्म के अंत काल रघुवर पुर जाई जहां जन्म हरे भक्त कहाई और देवता चितन दरई हनुमत से सर्व सुख करई संकट कटे मिथे सब पीरायो सुमेरे हनुमत बलबीरा जय 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 हनुमान गोसाई कृपा करो गुरुदेव की नाय जो सत बार बंदी महासुखया हनुमान चालीसा होया सिद्धि साकी घड़ीसा तुलसीदास सदा हरि चेरा कीजे नाथ हृदय तन्नाय संकट हरण मंगल मूर्ति रूप सियारा राम लखन सीता सहित हृदय बस सुरभूप सियावर राम चंद्र पद जे मंगलमूर्ति मारुतनंदन सकल मंगलमूल निकंदन मंगलमूर्ति मारुतनंदन सकल मान जान की जे बोलो हनुमान की राम लक्ष्मण जान की जे बोलो हनुमान की राम लक्ष्मण जान की जे बोलो हनुमान की राम लक्ष्मण जान की जे बोलो हनुमान की राम जय जय राम जय राम जय जय राम Ram de Ram de Jeram, Ram de Ram de Jeram, Jesia Ram de Jehanuman, Jesia Ram de Jehanuman, Jesia Ram de Jehanuman, Jesia Ram de Jehanuman, Ram de Ram de Jeram, Ram de Ram.
About a path at all. If we know that there might be a way to live in this world in a good way, with an open heart and without fear, it's only because of the great beings that have gone before us. Out of their love, out of their kindness, they left some footprints for us to follow. So, in the same way that they wish for us, in the very same way that they wish for us, we wish that all beings everywhere, all of us, be safe, be happy, that all of us have good health and enough to eat, and someday may we all live in peace. That ease of heart with whatever comes to us in life.